Good morning. We've been talking about the nature of the church, and this morning I'd like to take one step further logically and start talking about the work of the church, and I'd like to share with you the method of my message, or method of my madness, however you want to look at it. I think we need to understand, first of all, that we are together in this. We're together in Christ. We are part of Christ. We're part of Christ's body, and that we are the church. We don't go to church, and we're not just part of an organization. And that's been a theme throughout these past few weeks. And second, we need to understand what the church is about and what the church does. And what I'd like to do is get some general principles out and discuss, but also start to look at specific things, but see how it all fits together so that we are working together and individually, but all in a united way. It sounds weird, it sounds a little messy, but I hope it gets clearer as I go. Most of the time, when we talk about the work of the church, and you've probably heard it preached before, you've got evangelism, benevolence, and edification. Those are the works of the church. And they're a convenient way to divide up or categorize the various things that God's people do. But if we just categorize it like that, and do it in a dry, sterile way as a 3 points on an outline, it makes a nice sermon. We start to think in terms of categorizing on ourselves. Well, I'll be part of the evangelism part, you can be part of the benevolence part. Or we only do those things once in a while. Or we only do those things when there's a program that we all participate in that we don't do it all ourselves individually during the week. And all of that's wrong. It's the wrong idea. It all gets bound together in the fact that we belong to Christ. It all comes out of the fact that we belong to Christ, that He died for us, that He paid for our sins, and that we have life in Him, and we're part of Him. And that is ultimately the purpose of Christ, that He live in us. The purpose is that Christ be formed in us, that we live by faith in Christ. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul says, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Now, Paul isn't just talking about himself. He's talking about something that he's expecting, that God's expecting of all Christians. Because in the next chapter, well, in two chapters down, he talks to the Galatian Christians and pleads with them to shape up and wake up and not go astray like they were in danger of doing. And he's saying, my children, this is verse 19, Galatians 4, my children with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. But I wish I could be present with you now and to change my tone, for I'm perplexed about you. The key to getting it right is Christ in us. The key to getting it right is setting aside our selfishness, setting aside our pride, and submitting to Christ. And letting His attitude, His spirit, His love work in our lives. Now this is the core of Christian life. It's not like we get our forgiveness and now we got to do some stuff to maintain ourselves. It's part of living in faith. You know, we can put on a bracelet. I don't have one, but we can put on a bracelet that has WWJD, I think that's the initials, what would Jesus do, right? And look at my WWJD bracelet. Well, that's not the idea. The idea is to have that mind, that in your mind, right? Is what would Jesus do? How am I going to live by faith in Christ without trying to think the way Jesus thinks? without trying to love the way Jesus loves, without trying to serve the way Jesus serves, without pursuing honesty the way Jesus is true. It needs to be in our minds. We can wear a silver crucifix, but that doesn't do anything. What we need is the cross of Christ in our hearts. And isn't that what Paul was saying in the passages I just read? What is our purpose in Christ? We're all members of the body of Christ. Well, we all need to be attached to Christ, and being attached to Christ means what? Having His Spirit, having the Holy Spirit, following His will, submitting to His will as King, and recognizing Him as Savior and Lord. All too often, and this is the pull of the world, the pull of the world is, I have my church life and I have my life. No, we don't have our life. Our life is Jesus' life now. We're in Christ's kingdom. And this is what we have to understand. Now, being in Christ's kingdom, being attached to Christ, we do stuff. And this stuff that we do have these three different elements in them. But it's the fact that they come out of our service to Christ that makes all the difference in the world. If we just do evangelism and we do nothing but thump the Bible and spout scriptures at people here, there, and everywhere, but we have our hearts hardened against their needs in a physical sense, what good is that going to do? Nothing. What good is it going to do if we preach and thump the Bible, but we don't encourage people and connect with them in an emotional way, and in a way that will help them and build them up? It's not going to do anything. We can't just have the evangelism piece and say, well, you're not a Christian if you haven't been baptizing people. Well, it's a bigger picture than that. It's not just that one activity that Christ does. Christ came to save, to seek and save the lost, didn't He? Sure did. But what else did He do? He taught. He showed us the way to live. He helped us. He gave us hope. He gave us encouragement, didn't He? And when He found somebody who was sick, what did He do? Heal them. When He found somebody who was hungry, what did He do? Gave him food. It's all bound together. You see, it's not just one pick and choose which one. You know, there are plenty of scriptures that talk about all of these things. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus is about to ascend into heaven. He says that all authority has been given to Him in heaven and on earth. In verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Well, they're to make disciples, they're to baptize people, they're to evangelize, but what else? They're to teach them to obey all of the rest of it. There's edification going on, and it's a continuing thing, isn't it? It's a continuing evangelism, a continuing edification. But it's also a continuing of doing good deeds. Well, I'll just read two passages, and then I'll try to elucidate a little bit more, and then we'll tie it up. in Galatians chapter 6, Paul has to say, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we'll reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We're supposed to be do-gooders. Right? We're supposed to be good do-gooders. Do good to other people. What's that? Benevolence, isn't it? Takes different shapes, takes different forms. Can you think of a group that feeds the hungry? You know, you think about it. What do the people in the community think of? They say, well, that's the church that has the soup kitchen. That's the church that gives out food. That's the church that gives out clothing. That's the church that provides shelter. But is that the whole story? Where the good things, the very good things, and the wonderful things, and I'm sure there are things that God is happy about. In fact, James would say, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. We don't have good religion, we don't have pure religion unless we're helping people. But helping people isn't the center, is it? Not exactly. What differentiates the church from the Kiwanis Club or the Lions Club or any other wonderful organizations that do all sorts of wonderful things? I think God is happy with all of these wonderful organizations that do wonderful things. I really do. Can you picture yourself? I mean, we're in a lost world with a bunch of lost people, and God is wanting every single one of those people who are lost to come to Him. And anytime anybody starts taking a direct step in the right direction, isn't God happy? Well, here's somebody, here's my son. You think about it personally. Think about your own son or daughter being separated from you because they're living a wicked life. And then all of a sudden they start doing some stuff right. Maybe they don't do everything right. Maybe they haven't been reconciled to you yet, but they start doing some stuff right. Now you have a son who's doing drugs and stealing, and then all of a sudden he decides he's going to stop stealing. Aren't you happy? I mean, you're not happy because he hasn't come back to you. You aren't happy because he hasn't stopped the drugs, but you're happy that he did some of it, right? Well, God's happy with the good stuff. Other people do too. And it's a good thing. But what we have to watch out for in the church is that we don't make that just our purpose. So that our purpose as a church is to distribute clothing. And that church can distribute food, and another one can provide shelter for the homeless, and another can do this, that, or the other thing. It's a package. And Christ was a package. We're a package. We're part of Christ. It's not just doing good. We should do good. But it's not just doing good. Think about it. What spreads seed? In general, fruit spreads seed. The fruit isn't the seed, but the fruit spreads the seed, doesn't it? A grape. How do grape seeds get distributed? Unless it's seedless grapes. I mean, we spit out the seeds, right? And what happens when you spit the seeds out? Well, they get scattered. What happens when animals eat the seeds? They scatter, eat the grapes. They scatter the seed. Well, the grapes aren't the seed, but they scatter the seed, and they enable that seed to be scattered, right? Well, what happens when we love the way we're supposed to love? What happens when we have the fruit of the Spirit that God wants to develop in us? The fruit of the Spirit is love and goodness and kindness and truth and honesty and self-control and all sorts of wonderful things. What does that do? That provides an environment for the seed to be planted and spread. And so evangelism without being a do-gooder isn't anything. Being a do-gooder without evangelism isn't anything either. In the spiritual realm. I mean, you feed a hungry person, but eventually the hungry person's going to die, and so will I. Where are you going to go when you die? Well, that has something else to do with the gospel, right? So we have to do with eternity. We don't just have to do with this world. The same thing is true with edification. There's a lot of stuff that we need to learn. And, what we're doing on Wednesday night is a good example. I'm drawing some lessons from the book called The Total Money Makeover. And there are lots of self-help books like that. How to straighten out your finances. How not to worry and be dominated by... Ms. Lucinda Bassett has some really good books about that and the whole series. How not to be paralyzed by worry and live your life for real. There are books on books and organizations, Alcoholics Anonymous, overcoming alcohol addiction. Then there's Overeaters Anonymous, and then there's Drug Addicts Anonymous, and whatever fill in the blank Anonymous. There are lots of edification type organizations, just like there are a lot of do-gooder organizations, right? You might lump them together, but it's good. It's good stuff. A lot of the stuff that those organizations, those books have, are useful, and they work insofar as that it agrees with God's word. It works insofar as there's truth in the books, there's truth, some truth in the program, and the object is to get rid of a product of sin in our life. Isn't that really what it's all about? When you scratch beneath the surface, when you start saying, I have to get rid of this problem or that problem or this other problem, really isn't it a sin problem, ultimately? So edification's part of it. We're doing edification right here. We're edifying one another, building one another up, encouraging one another's faith, helping, keeping our minds straight on exactly how we should do things. When we get together, we refocus our hearts and our minds on Christ when we gather together. Isn't that part of a help program? That's an edification program. That's part of it. But edification apart from Christ isn't eternal, is it? Edification with Christ has got the whole package. And so we have those three things. We have evangelism, we have benevolence, and edification all together as part of our work in Christ. And you guys know that. I mean, before, I'm not telling you anything new. How is it I'm not telling you anything new? Well, if you look in your bulletin, every week in our bulletins, we have a little blurb right in a little box at the bottom of the second page. And it says, our mission statement. Reaching lost souls in the Oxford Hills region and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. What's that? Evangelism, isn't it? Serving our fellow man. What's that about? That's benevolence, isn't it? And then actively assisting all members in the church to reach heaven. And that's edification. What I'd like to get in our minds, and maybe it'll be easier for us to remember, is the things in the areas in which we're working that they're bound together, but they all relate to one of these things, and they mesh together. You can remember it maybe as our objective is to save, to serve, and to strengthen. You get three S's to remember. Save, serve, and strengthen. What can I do to help save people? What can I do to help serve people? What can I do to help strengthen people? That's our objective. That's the goal. And it's a goal that just doesn't stop with a church program. Church programs could have those goals mixed into it. But our own personal goals ought to be mixed in with this too, because we are the church, right? When you go to work, it isn't just, well, I have to build widgets, you know, or whatever you're doing. But one aspect of my work and my workplace and my participation in this help save people? What aspect of what opportunities do I have in this workplace to help people? What aspect do I have to build people up, to encourage people, to bump people in the right direction, in Jesus' direction? We don't have to have a special program for that. We just have to have it in our mind to do it. We have to have it in our mind that Jesus is really important to us. And he's really important to the people around us. That when I see, if I have Jesus' love, If I see somebody who is in need, I want to help if I can. If I have the opportunity and the means, I just have a gift. If I have the opportunity and the means to say something encouraging, I've just been given the gift of encouragement in that second. If I have the opportunity and means to say a good word for Jesus, even if it's a sentence or two, I have the gift of evangelism. Just that moment. If I have the opportunity to give encouragement to somebody next to me or help them see something better than what they've got, I've just been given the gift of encouragement for that second. We can do that at our workplace. We can do that in our families with our husbands and wives. We can do that with our children. We can do that with everyone around us. And that's part of Christ being in us, isn't it? What would Jesus do? It's not just a slogan that we wear on our wrists. It's a life that we live. Now, we're going to talk about more details about these things as time goes on. We're going to do some discussion of it on Sunday nights. And I'm hoping that at the end of this series, and I haven't really put the period on the end of the series yet, but at the end, we'll have some good ideas as to what we can be doing to do things together on some of these as well, and to start being more focused as far as our reaching into our community. And that's my appeal, just to get ourselves to seeing ourselves as walking in Christ, part of his body, and not living for ourselves, but living for Christ. And then we'll be doing those three objectives out of the right motives, with the right way, in the right context, to save, to serve, and to strengthen. If you have any prayer requests, if you want to put the Lord in baptism or anything else, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.